Shalom v'brachot, peace and blessings to everyone who will be joining us today. We are in our third Sefer book of the Torah proper, Vayikra, for the Hebrew year 5781. This week we have a special double portion Torah study. Our first parsha, our portion, is Bahar, on the mountain. Our second parsha, or portion, is Behuchatai, in my statutes. I would like to remind you of what we have been saying since we began our study of this book of Vayikra. The Torah studies in this section have been, for the most part, longer and more intense than previous studies. Yet, the foundation that will be laid is so integral and necessary to all who are being reintroduced to the Hebraic life and mindset Yahweh is restoring us to. Our true identity is Israel. Those of us who are a part of the returning house of Yosef Ephraim are not Jewish, but we are a part of the non-Jewish returning house of Yosef Ephraim, and yes, we are also Israel. This book of Vayikra will be a key to restoring us to our true identity, along with the house of Judah as the reunited whole house of Israel. I do like to make you aware each week we do use the Orthodox Jewish Bible for our scripture references. If we do use another translation, then we will notate that for you so you will be aware. Also, so you will know, in our Parsha each week, when we quote the scripture references from the OJB, I do include at times definitions and commentary because it helps add clarity and emphasis while we read. Especially since the OJB does include numerous Hebrew wording and phrases. However, if you read from the OJB on your own, you won't see these. I just want you to be aware. My name is Joe Snipes, Yosef from Gates to Zion Ministries. Again, welcome, and let's go ahead and get started. As a means of clarification, let me go ahead and make the following statement. The Hebrew year of 5781, while not a leap year, still combines certain Torah parshot. This happens in order to keep the number of Shabbat readings in sync with the annual Torah cycle schedule. So please enjoy reading and studying this parsha of Behar and also of Behuchatai as a double blessing for this week. We will begin our study this week by reading the first two opening verses of Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 25. And Hashem Yahweh spoke unto Moshe in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the B'nai Israel, the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into Haaretz, the land, which I give you, then shall Haaretz, the land, observe a Shabbos, or a Shabbat, rest unto Hashem Yahweh. As usual, the title for our parsha comes from the first few opening words. I quoted those opening verses above because I want to draw your attention to something we said earlier. The word Behar means in or on the mount. Now, please notice, the mount spoken of here is Mount Sinai. Yet, where were we in our last parsha? It was after the Mishkan, the tabernacle, is built. The Kohanim, the priest, have been consecrated, ordained, and also after the incident with Nadab and Abihu. Chronologically, we are back in the time when Moshe is still up with Yahweh in the mountain. So why does our present parsha find itself so out of sequence in the order of time? To answer this, we must first remind ourselves of the principle we have seen Yahweh using within the Torah. Ein mukdam o mechuchar betorah. There is no before and after in Torah. Thus, when studying the Torah, Yahweh sets the chronological order of events aside. What matters is the thought patterns he is desirous for us to grasp at present. There is nothing that is happenstance or hodgepodge in how Yahweh puts his thoughts together. He exists beyond our time-space dimension. Therefore, all is eternity to him. The time of faith is always now, citing Ivrim, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. now is an eternal marker transcending our own concept of time, space, dimension. So, in Torah, Yahweh may move around as it pleases himself. What is important is the point Yahweh has chosen to reveal at that particular moment. Therefore, we must keep this principle in mind as we study through each parsha or portion. This way, we may deduce in spirit the truth he knows we need. Secondly, in verse 2 of our opening sukkim or verses, we see Yahweh instructing the children of Israel through Moshe concerning the land they are about to enter. The reason these instructions are included here is they are about holiness. Yahweh is showing the Hamakom, the place where he is bringing Israel, is the land. He himself has sanctified it, set it apart to be the home for his people. A holy mighty one has obtained a holy people, and they are to live in a holy land. Out of all the earth, there is no more holier place than the land of Israel. We have seen this same thing when it came to the days of the week. All of the days of the week are the same, until Yahweh chooses one day and sets it apart. Then that day becomes holy, or set apart from all the other days of the week. Thus, you have the weekly Shabbat on the seventh day. Even so, all the earth is full of land, and all that land is his. But out of all the land of the earth, Yahweh has chosen the land of Canaan to be Hamakom, the place for his Am Sekula, his treasured people. Yahweh gave it to Israel in betrothal. It is other than all the rest of the land and all the earth. It is holy, set apart. As such, it is to be treated in distinction to all other land in the earth. We will be quoting, first of all, from Tehillim, Psalms chapter 24 and verse 1. Haaretz, the earth, the land, is Hashem's, Yahweh's, and the fullness thereof, the Tevel, the world, and they that dwell therein. We will also be quoting from Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 8 through 12. Therefore, shall you be shemer, guard, over all the mitzvot, the commandments, which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess Haaretz, the land, whither you go to possess it. And in order that you may prolong your yamim, your days on Hadama, the earth, which Hashem Yahweh swore unto Avatakem, your fathers, to give unto them and to their zera, their physical seed, Eretz Zavat Cholav Udavash, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For Haaretz, the land, whether thou goest in to possess it, is not as Eretz Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt, from whence you came out, where thou sowest thy zerah, thy seed, and waterest it with thy foot, as a gan, as a garden of herbs. But Haaretz, the land, whither you go to possess it, is an Eretz land of harim, of hills, and Behoot, valleys, and drinketh mayim of the matar, the rain, of shemayim, of the heaven. And Eretz, the land, which Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh your mighty one, careth for, the eyes of Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh your mighty one, are always upon it, from the Reshit Hashanah, the beginning of the year, even unto the Acharit Shana, the end of the year. The holiness of the land of Israel, which Yahweh has provided for his people, is therefore unique. This is one of the main reasons there is so much conflict around this land today. It is Hamakom, the place that Yahweh has chosen. He designated it, and Hasatan, may his memory be blotted out forever, wants whatever Yahweh has. It is his evil desire to usurp Yahweh at every hand. Within the land is also Hamakom, the place Yahweh has established his earthly throne, the Temple Mount in Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. Hasatan, may his memory be blotted out forever, tried to take the throne from Yahweh in heaven, citing Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 14, and failed. So now he desires to take the place of Yahweh's earthly one. We are about to see indeed how special this land really is. It is unlike any other place on earth. Yahweh is giving Israel instructions on how to treat it when they arrive. The land is to have a Shabbat. Why? We will be quoting from Vayikra Leviticus chapter 25, verses 3 through 7. 6 years thou shalt sow thy sadeh, your field. In 6 years thou shalt prune the kerem, the vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the shana hashavit, the seventh year, shall be a shabbos shabbaton, a high shabbat of rest unto haaretz, the land, a shabbos, a rest unto Hashem Yahweh. Thou shalt neither sow thy sadeh, thy field, nor prune thy kerem, thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy untended vine, for it is Shnat Shabbaton, a year of high rest unto Haaretz, the land. And the Shabbos, the rest of Haaretz, the land, shall be food for you, for thee, and for thy Eved, your servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy Tashov, thy guest, that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the wild animal that are in thy land, shall all the tavua, the increase thereof, be to eat. Here we find Yahweh instructing Israel concerning his provision of giving the land a Shabbat, or a rest, a time of ceasing, to be worked for harvest and gain. This is what is known as the Shemitah, meaning to let go or withdraw. This Shabbat year is a reminder of the instructions given to Israel concerning the weekly Shabbat and the gathering of the manna. We're quoting from Shemot, Exodus chapter 16, verse 29. See that Hashem Yahweh hath given you the Shabbos, the day of rest. Therefore he giveth you on Yom Hoshishi Lechem, sixth day bread, for 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out from his place on Yom Hashavi. The lesson of the Shabbat is one of trusting faithfulness. Israel was to learn it was not their efforts alone that brought about the increase of the land. It was Yahweh who gave it to them, and they obeyed his Torah, the loving instructions. Quoting from Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 through 20. I call Shemayim, the heavens, and Haaretz, the earth, to record today as witnesses against you, that I have set before you Hachayim, the life, and Hamavet, the death, Habaracha, the blessing, and Hakelala, the curse. Therefore choose Chayim, life, that both thou and thy Zerah, your physical seed, may live, that thou mayest love Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh your mighty one, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest have devakut, cling unto him, for he is Kayecha, your life, and the Orech Yameka, the length of your days, that thou mayest dwell in Hadama, the earth, which is Hashem's, Yahweh's. And he swore unto Avoteka, your fathers, to Avraham, Abraham, to Yitzhak, Isaac, and to Jacob, Jacob, to give them. To obey the loving instructions, the Torah of Yahweh, will cause Israel to be blessed and have life. It will result in fullness of life and the full length of their days. This is what both the weekly Shabbat and the seventh year Shabbat, the Shemitah, is all about. It is about trusting faithfulness in Yahweh and promises of his Torah. Again, to reiterate, the land of Canaan, the land of promise, is unlike any other land on earth. This land is alive. It has a soul life. That is the reason Yahweh says you are to give it a Shabbat, a rest, besides the factor of having trusting faithfulness in his ability to bless those who pursue his Torah. If you have ever been to Israel, then you know what I'm talking about. It was something I was completely unprepared for the first time I went. I was excited at being in the land of the Bible, to see all the places I had read about and walked where my master Yeshua had been and the other great heroes of faith. But I will never forget how strongly I felt the connection in my spirit with the land. It was calling to me. For the first time in my life, I knew I was home. I have never experienced this any other place in the world. The land of Israel is holy land. It has been set apart by Yahweh for his people, Israel. It is the place of destiny to which we are all returning. It is our inheritance. No one has the right to give it away or apportion it for so-called peace efforts. The United Nations does not. The United States does not. The Palestinians and Arab elements do not. Even the Israeli government does not. If in the end, Yahweh's full redemption for his nation of Israel, which includes both the houses of Yehuda, Judah, and Yosef Ephraim, does not include all the land promised by Yahweh in his covenant, then the promise of redemption is a lie. Yahweh forbid. He that has promised will fulfill his promised word to his people. Amen. Those who resist will come to feel his wrath. The land of Israel was a wedding gift given by Yahweh to Israel as his bride. This is why the rabbis react so strongly against such a process. It is literally viewed as na'af, or adultery. Jewish Israel's failure to keep the Shemitah results in judgment. The failure of Jewish Israel to keep the Shemitah, the rest of the land, every 7 years, as Yahweh instructed, would result in their punishment. It was the prophetic promise of judgment if they do not hear and obey Shema, Yahweh's instructions. We are quoting from Vayikra, Leviticus, chapter 26, verse 31 through 35. And I will turn your cities into ruins and bring Mikdashchem, your sanctuaries, unto desolation. And I will not take delight in your Reach Nihuach, your sweet aroma, your soothing incense. And I will bring Haaretz, the land, into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at her. I will scatter you among the Goyim, the nations, and will draw out a Kerev, a sword, after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities ruined. Then shall Haaretz, the land, enjoy her Shabbatot, her Sabbath rest, as long as she lieth desolate, and you be in your enemy's land, even then shall Haaretz, the land, rest and enjoy her Shabbatot, her rest. As long as she lieth desolate, she shall rest, because she did not rest in your Shabbatot, in your Sabbath rest, when you dwelt upon her. The above did happen. Yahweh used the Nabi, the prophet Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, to prophesy to Israel, the Jewish house of Yehuda, Judah, of their impending captivity in Babylon. This began to happen in 605 BCE and culminated in 586 BCE with the destruction of the first Tikal, the temple in Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, citing that the house of Ephraim had already been taken into its final captivity in 722 BCE by Syria. For 490 years, Israel had not kept the commandment of the Shemitah, the release, to let the land rest every seventh year. As a result, Yahweh would bring his people into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar and the army of Babylon. Yet, even in this terrible judgment, Yahweh shows mercy and promises their return after 70 years. The land will rest one way or the other. Then, with broken and contrite hearts, he will bring Israel back again. The promise of this redemptive mercy is seen in our Haftarah portion out of Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah. Yahweh instructs Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, to exercise his right as a goel, a kinsman redeemer, to buy a parcel of land from his relative. Why? Though Israel is about to be taken captive to Babylon, Yahweh will see they return to the land once it had rested its 70 years. It was the promise of Yahweh's mercy despite the judgment that fell upon them, citing Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah 32, verses 6 through 27. The Yovel, the year of release. We are quoting from Vayikra, Leviticus, chapter 25, verses 8 through 10. And thou shalt count seven Shabbatot, Shabbats of Shanim, years unto thee. Seven times seven Shanim, years. In the period of the Sheva Shabbatot of Shanim, seven Shabbats of years, shall be unto thee 49 Shanim, years. Then shalt thou cause the shofar to sound a broken blast, a sound, a call to teshuvah, repentance, to freedom. On the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Yom Kippurim, the Day of Atonements, shall you make the shofar sound throughout all your land, and you shall treat as kadosh, holy, the 50th year, and proclaim deror, freedom, throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a yovel, a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto the ancestral heritage of his possession, and you shall return every man unto his mishpachah, unto his family. We will now consider the second concept presented to us here in our parsha. We have seen the Shemitah, the release year, the seventh year, which was to be both a time when all work ceased in the field and monetary gain was not taken. The increase of what was left in the field was to be for the poor and all people to glean from. Then, beyond the rest factor, which causes the people to put their trusting faithfulness in Yahweh for their provision over the next 3 years, it was also a time of celebration. It was a time of release and cancellation of debt, a time of setting free for those who had become enslaved due to debt. Now we look at that concept in a greater dimension through the Yovel or Jubilee year. Yovel comes from the word for ram's horn. We see an interesting parallel to the Yovel year given to us in the taking of the city of Jericho or Jericho in Joshua chapter 6, verse 4 through 14. On the seventh day, seven priests with seven shofars were to compass the city seven times. On the seventh time, the seven priests were to sound a long blast, at which time all the people of Israel were to shout together. The result would be the walls of Jericho would literally be swallowed as they sank into the ground. Do you think Yahweh is trying to get something through to us about the number seven? There was to be counted seven Shabbaton of years, or 49 years total. The 50th year would be the Yovel, or the Jubilee. It was to be counted as holy, set apart. Have we seen this concept before? Most assuredly, it is in the command to count the Omer up to Shavuot. This consisted of 49 days of weeks plus one. Then Shavuot will have fully come, citing Maasim Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, on that 50th day. The result would be a departure from the natural realm where Israel had fallen into such a terrible state of declension while in Mitzrayim, or Egypt. They were to count up unto the divine realm of Tikkun, of restoration. The 49 days of counting the Omer would result in Israel's transformation from being just a Hebrew people into being a holy nation. As a result, at Mount Sinai, they would be ready to be betrothed to Yahweh and receive his Torah, the Ketubah, the wedding contract. Even so, the counting of the 49 years of Shabbatot, sabbatical years, resulted in the sounding of the shofar on Yom Kippurim, the Day of Atonements. It signaled a time of release. All Israel's sins as a nation were corporately atoned, covered, and forgiven, citing that this included both unintentional and intentional sins. All debts were canceled, all slaves were set free, all land was returned to its proper ancestral owners. One final thought. It is very interesting, as we brought out at the outset of our commentary, the setting for this parsha is while Moshe is on Mount Sinai. Here we have the place of the Matan, the giving of the Torah, and the two principles of release and return. both resulting in freedom as represented by the Shemitah, the release, and the Yovel. What is Yahweh trying to tell us by placing these things together in such close proximity? The sages of Israel used a method of interpretation called Shmikut Parashiot, proximity of issues. As we have said, the Torah is not a random, disordered collection of verses, chapters, and historical accounts. No, there is nothing like this in Yahweh's Torah. Everything is there just the way it is for a reason. Therefore, the sages of Israel believed when studying the Torah, you must not only look at the verses and search for their meaning, you must go further. When you find two seemingly unrelated concepts in close proximity, you must ask, why is this so? Yahweh is trying to show us something beyond the simple existence of these seemingly unrelated issues. This idea of interpretation is found here in our parsha, our portion of Behar. You see, first, as we have already noted, you have the concept of the Matan, the giving of Torah, to Israel at Mount Sinai. Then you have the seemingly unrelated concepts of, number one, forgiveness of debts, which initially caused the ones to become enslaved. Number two, release of those enslaved to return to their families. And three, the return of the land in the Yovel, the Jubilee year. The land is returned to its original ancestral owners. In a nutshell, in Hebrew, the word is karut, or covenant freedom. The Church of Christendom shows its prejudicial slant against the Torah by calling it law. It is meant in a derogatory manner because it sees the Torah as bondage. However, the truth is made clear by Yahweh's placing Mount Sinai, the place of the Matan, the giving of the Torah, and the concepts of release, return, and freedom represented by the Shemitah and the Yovel, the Jubilee, in such close proximity to each other in our Parsha. The Torah is meant to be the way of release and liberty to those who learn to diligently Shema, hear and obey, keep, pursue His commandments and His ordinances. The Torah is the way to a full, abundant life and length of days upon the earth. The Church of Christendom, unwittingly, by throwing away the Torah, has sadly also thrown away Yahweh's blueprint for the abundant life they so adamantly say they are after. May Yahweh help us to recover all we have lost and to truly enter into His blessings and provisions. May Yahweh, by His Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, open the eyes of our heart to understand and cooperate with His ways which lead to the rest of our souls so dearly needs. Citing Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, Amen. We're quoting from Yaakov, James chapter 1 and verse 25. But the one having peered into the Torah, the Hashlema, the perfect Torah, the Torah HaCharut, the Torah of covenant freedom, and there remaining, not as a forgetful listener, but one who is Shemer Mitzvot, who guards, who keeps, who pursues the commandments, and goes into action, this one will have a bracha, a blessing on his head in all his acts. We say the following blessing as we continue each week's study of the Torah. Chazach u'baruch, strength and blessing.